From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. I'm Nate Russell. Welcome back, everybody, to another brand new episode of the Digital Podcast. Patrick Kottner is our guest today, and we're talking about the unique career path he's had as somebody who is now making a living as a talent booker and talent coordinator for some of the hottest comedy shows in New York City, President Show, Gethard Show. He's a hot commodity, and we got a little bit of his time. We booked him for this show, or specifically Sophie did. Sophie Alkezian's here too. Hey, Sophie.
Hi. Yeah, I booked a booker.
You reeled in a big fish, right? You conned
nice.
The con man.
Nice.
But a very lovely man and a good conversation
so nice.
We had with him.
Yeah.
And some stuff that I think we're going to peel off and utilize in our booking of podcasts going forward too.
Yeah, honestly, I learned so much. I was like, so afterwards I asked him basically how to write an email.
Yeah, the real basics we get into in today's episode. We're about a month out from our Maker Book Club round two, so there still is time to pick up the book, join in the fun. Our Maker Book Club, of course, the only book club that's about getting you inspired to go make better work out there. And we are going to collaborate on this book club meeting. Our book club meets on December the 7th in the afternoon. We're going to be on Facebook Live, also recording this podcast. If you want to join us, either via Facebook Live or in person, the only rule is you got to read the book and you got to be able to get to New York City. But reach out to us, podcasts, plural, at ucbcomedy.com. We're reading The Director's Six Senses. We've been tweeting out that link. You can pick up the book, check it out. And if you finish it by December 7th, join us for some Irish coffees and some good discussion about filmmaking in our second round of this Maker Book Club. I'm making a little bit of progress, Sophie. It's
yeah.
I need to clear some bandwidth. It's not going to take long for me to finish it because it is a really good and quick read.
Mm-hmm.
But I just haven't had the time to sort of sit down and do it in a way where I'm also like taking the notes I want to take for the book club part of
it.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, you do have lots of time in the sense that it might be even better to
wait
and then finish close to
That's
our
true.
Chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It for me, it's more just like the bandwidth to like if, it's one thing if I'm just like
to
reading,
focus.
If I'm reading
yeah.
to just like throw it away. But the idea that I need yeah. to have an opinion about it, you know what I mean,
I
is
know.
The part where I'm like, I want to be able to like take some notes while I do this.
Yeah, suddenly we're all back in English class.
Yeah, exactly. We've somehow recreated that environment for ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is fun. Well, hopefully y'all out there will join us for that as well. Let's jump into today's episode. Again, Patrick Kottner, our guest. He's the talent booker and talent coordinator for such shows as The Chris Gethard Show, airing right now on True TV, as well as The President Show for the beginning episodes, the launch of that show as well. And he also books the very popular shows here at UCB New York, The ASCAT Show at UCB Theater Chelsea. Only a couple more Chelsea versions of ASCAT.
So sad.
It's very sad. And also he books the George Lucas Talk Show, and he talked about another show, Way Past Your Bedtime, which also both play at UCB on a monthly basis. He's somebody who has a unique skill set in that he's sort of honed the ability to book talent for cool comedy projects. And the path that he took to get there started in a really traditional route, and then he sort of veered off into this more specific production task and production role on projects. And it's something that he's good at. And when I talk to him, you can hear the sort of like, he has an ease talking to people that I
mm-hmm.
think probably plies well into this skill of booking people on, you know, on cool comedy experiences.
Yeah, I agree.
So really excited to sit down and chat with him. As always, we sipped the Bronx beer while we had our chat. We're drinking that No Resolutions IPA. As we come to the end of the year, we're already thinking about resolutions. And guess what? We've got none. The only resolution we'll ever have is to drink a Bronx beer every week on this show. Pick up a Bronx beer the next time you're at the UCB or any place that good beer is sold. And go to thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all of their excellent craft brews. We're also excited. We're putting some finishing touches on a live event in December at the Bronx Brewery. I know, Sophie, you're excited about this one. It's going to be fun.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, we'll have more news on that coming out soon. But look out for it. At the beginning of December this year, we're going to be at the Bronx Brewery in person doing some podcasting. And it's going to be very fun. All right, let's jump into it. Our conversation with talent booker extraordinaire, Patrick Kottner. Patrick, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
On a show day, no doubt. You're going to be up until...
late. Very late.
Hey, you guys go out after the shows now, right?
Yeah, we the show goes 11 to 12.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's the only time that everyone's in the office, so we have our post-meetings.
Yeah.
So then that goes to probably 1 or 1.30.
Which I'm sure everyone's super fresh
for.
Oh,
we're all jazzed. We're pumped to be there, yeah.
Yeah. And then you go out after 1.30?
And then we go out after that, usually.
Imagine you're like the live aspect of it. Like when I used to do like live TV stuff, it's a thrill.
Mm-hmm.
You're jacked up afterwards.
Yeah.
You're
like, it really gets you. You couldn't go. I mean, at least I couldn't go home right after, just because I'm like, oh, I'd be in bed for 2 hours, just like with my eyes on the ceiling, being like, I can't sleep after that. You know?
Yeah. But it's also funny because you were also involved in that show when it was a real community thing. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so part of the fun was we're with all these people who are doing something cool. Now it's your job.
I know. I know. And it's weird. I've been there. I was there October 2011, I think, was when I first started working.
Wow.
And, I mean, we always hoped that we'd get paid for it, but, like, there was a while there where we were like, oh, no, it's just not going to happen, you know? And that was fine.
Right. If that was your driver at that point,
yeah,
you were probably in the wrong
room. Yeah.
But, like, it's amazing that it's actually come around to that.
Yeah.
Which is great. And also, like, it feels like this iteration of it with the sort of live element back in it feels like it's given it some new juice.
For sure. I think I don't want to speak for everybody, but at least on my end, it feels very satisfying just to have, like, the immediate reaction. Because for the past 2 years, we would pre-tape it and edit it down, and then like it would go up the next day and wouldn't go online till the next week. Like it was a whole process, and so people wouldn't be seeing it for 8 or 9 days or something. But now it's like, oh no, we can just check Twitter and you see what it's bizarre.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess I wanted to sort of talk to you because it feels like there's a particular skill that you seem to be plying in the world of comedy. Towards like booking talent, right?
Yeah.
You're doing that for the Gethard show.
Yeah.
You were doing it for the President show before that. You can't do both.
No.
You left the President
show. As much as I would love to, I had to leave the President show. I was there for the first 9 episodes, I think.
So basically the same time frame that JD was there.
Yeah. JD and I left the same week.
We're out of here.
I know. I think I was there 1 week later than JD, just to, be there a little bit longer. but we both left around the same time, and that was a tough decision because I like everybody there a lot.
Yeah,
you know, you get to work with like the best people.
Yeah,
you know, Neil Casey, Gemberling, Nangle. Like, there's so many people there that aren't even on screen.
Right,
that are the best at what they do.
That's really rad, man. And then and also like not in the TV world, but you've been booking ASCAP for a long time too, and doing that stuff. That's more, I assume, like a passion thing.
Yeah.
So it seems like you sort of have carved out this world of comedy where like you're like that's a big part of like what your repertoire and skill set is.
Yeah.
What is the particular skill set of somebody who's a talent coordinator or a talent booker that you feel like is like relevant or that you have inside of you that's helped you succeed with?
For sure. I think the biggest things that you need are like, you got to be good at talking to people. You got to be good at dealing with stress and dealing with like last minute changes when it's like, oh, someone cancels an hour before. And it's like, you got to have that Rolodex of people like, oh, who lives around here? Who can get here very quick?
Right.
Stuff like that where that's it's.
You need to know where people live.
I mean, honestly, it's a weird thing, but yeah, kind of. And just being able to deal with the crazy demands of like the day before a show, someone goes, hey, we want so-and-so, get them. And then you got to get a person for a show the next day. Like something like that happens more often than you'd think.
So responding to that stuff, and I think especially when we're talking about doing something in like a comedy or like, that's sort of like UCB theater space, I get that. When we're talking about booking talent that's like for a TV show, though, I imagine there's more of a mechanism that you have to go through.
Totally.
So like, that makes sense. The ability to sort of be flexible, have like a good way to sort of pitch in, pitch in ideas and move around as like things evolve and not being comfortable with the knowing that, like I used to say that it's like, some of production is kind of like being a firefighter, right? Way less important of a job, but in the way that firefighters don't go to the fire and go, what do we need? What do we need to bring?
Yeah.
They do so much training beforehand. That's why they're so excellent, such professionals, that they've got the training and the tools to go, there's going to be a fire and there's going to be unknowns.
Yeah.
When we show up there, we need to be fucking prepared for it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that in production, people get to the mindset of eventually. Starting out, you're like, I just want to do cool stuff.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
But really what you need to be ready for is this. We've got limited time. Mm-hmm. We've got limited resources. Mm-hmm. Even when we have a lot of resources, they're stretched thin.
Yeah.
And like, how do we show up to what is ostensibly a fire?
Yeah.
And make sure that we can keep it under control.
Yeah.
Even though we don't know what is in each room or how. I mean, I'm mixing this.
And even especially with, especially with live TV, that's a whole other beast than like a, you know, some pre-tape thing. It's you got one shot. There's no retakes, and this is what it is.
So those attributes make sense.
Yes.
What about like what is the actual mechanism? So like somebody goes. I don't want to put you in the position of a specific,
sure.
But like, let me say this. Like, we want, like I want to get, I'm trying to think, I'll give you a specific that's totally hypothetical.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like, I want to get Lord to do something.
Okay.
What's your method?
Tough. She's
that's
busy.
Tough, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I think to begin with.
But what would I do?
Yes.
Because that's a pie in the sky, and I'm like,
well, here's how
I have no fucking idea.
You gotta set expectations
great.
With who you're working with.
Okay, good.
You
gotta
be like, listen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's tough. She's busy. She's. Okay. You look up, you be like, oh,
okay,
she's
so
on tour right
okay.
now.
Yeah, yeah.
She'll be in New York on December 18th or something like that.
That's perfect. She'll play the Christmas party.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. So you... You look at her schedule, if it's online, you'd be like, hey, she's going to be here then, or she's shooting a movie in New York. I know she's not an actress, but like, say she was.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah,
she's got a movie.
Yeah.
She's shooting a movie in New York until February. She's going to be here. I'll reach out to her reps. So you go to like an IMDb Pro or there's like a contact any celebrity. Like it's a very similar service where it'll just have the reps listed, the agents, the managers, the publicists. Usually for what I'm doing, the best people to reach out to, unless I have like a previous relationship with the person, would be the managers.
Okay.
Usually. Reach out to them. Try to explain what the show is, because sometimes they don't know what the show is. Like Guthrie
sure.
Show, obviously it has its fans. People in the comedy community know who it is. But if you're reaching out to Lord, the reps are going to be like, I don't know what the hell the show is.
Right.
Why would she do this?
Mm-hmm. Good fit for Guthrie Show, too.
I think she might
Let
be
me
fun.
Just say.
She might. Listen, I'll pitch her today. I'm booked for the end of the season, but she might be fun. So you talk to them, and you just have to know how to talk to reps and, like, give the good buzzwords to be like, listen, here are the people that have been on the show in the past. You know, you throw, hey, John Hamm was on last year, Lena Dunham, Diddy, like, all these people where it's like, oh, well, if Diddy did the show, like, why can't Lord do the show? You know
sure.
what I mean? Like, if they see the people that they like and that they know, it sort of vouches for it, even in a way where they don't go out and talk to them. And even there are people who – there have been people in the past who are like, oh, I'm friends with so-and-so. I'll reach out to them to see if they had a good time on the show.
Yeah,
and then they'll come back and be like, oh, so-and-so loved it. He had such a good time, and he said I should do it. So that was –
That makes sense.
Obviously very helpful.
Sure. It still sounds like there's like a human connection point.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to know how to talk to people.
Yeah.
I think that's...
You're also recommend... like So you have a tool set and something like an IMDb Pro,
mm-hmm.
which like gives you at least... Like you're paying for that information.
Or my friend Katie Zahler's paying for it and I'm using hers.
Sure. Whatever the hookup is.
Yes.
Right? You get that information. Someone's been paid for that information because they're sort of like aggregating it.
Yeah.
It gives you the ability to like contact someone in their world.
Yes.
And you're also recommending manager. Why do you recommend manager?
I don't know. It's just honestly from past experiences, that's the one who usually works. I mean, with agents, they're usually handling the big picture deal.
Sure.
So like they kind of sometimes don't give a shit about like individual TV appearances.
Yeah.
Where it's like this isn't helping their overall career unless they're a person who hasn't made it yet or something like.
Yeah.
But the manager are more on a case by case basis, at least from my perspective. And they're the ones who usually are more responsive. It's usually also helpful, honestly, to get on the phone with people,
yeah.
whether that be an assistant or whether that be the manager itself.
Yeah.
And you can make a much better pitch on the phone than you can by email without the email being 7 pages long.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. And I also imagine that it's even better, and you sort of said this before, that you reach out to them unless you have a relationship with
yeah.
somebody else, which probably means you have... worked with them on something before or seen them somewhere face to face. It's a funny thing where it's like email's great, phone's probably better. It makes it more human.
Yes.
And then it's even much more human experience when you've been in the same room with someone and can look them in the eye and go, I'm not a crazy person.
Totally. We've met. You know me. Like you've done. Like even, not to go back to John Hamm, but like John Hamm did the finale of Guthard last year.
Yeah.
And he had done the George Lucas talk show, which I also work on with Connor Ratliff at UCB East. He had done that. So we were able to. You know, I was able to talk to him and be like, you know, you've done this. We've met. You know that this is good. And he knew Gethard. He knew other people on the show. So, like, stuff like that where, or you know someone's assistant and they're able to push it to the top of the pile and help the person actually see it and be like, no, this is good. You'll have a good time.
Yeah.
That helps a lot, too.
It also sounds like in your approach towards, like, somebody, you're pitching, you're essentially, like, pitching them on, like, what the experience is, right?
Yeah.
And it sounds like some of those things that you're framing are what's the sort of like cool experience for them and also like who else is sort of vouching for it?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, something I've been lucky with on almost all the things I've worked on is it's an experience not like pretty much anything else you're going to do. Where like ASCAT's kind of the only mostly thing like that where it's like, oh, you're going to tell stories and they're going to do improv off of it. Or, like, Gethard is not, like, going on The Tonight Show. It's not, like, going on Colbert. We're not going to do a pre-interview and be like, so what was your vacation like? You know, like, you're going to be up there doing stuff with the cast. And it's a very different experience from pretty much anything else they're going to do, which I think helps a lot of time. And it scares some people sometimes, too. You know, not everybody's comfortable with not just going up there and telling a 4-minute story about their kid. You know?
Well, I imagine that The President's Show was a little bit somewhere in the middle. Because that's also like it is a traditional talk show format.
Except.
Yeah. There's another
but
piece.
But the except is a big thing.
Yeah. And getting them on board with that is probably the key.
Totally. And when you're booking mostly political guests for that show, it's tough because some people don't want to burn bridges with things that they might need to deal with in the future.
Yeah.
There are people who are willing to take the chance, and those are the people who are often the best on the show.
Yeah. Like in a circumstance where you're just like all that makes sense. And in terms of like going out with something that's real, it also helps that it's on a TV network or it's on, you know, it's some place where the distribution point also says there's eyeballs on this.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
When doing something, and I guess in a way, ASCAT doesn't have that. I assume ASCAT does have some visibility at this point.
Yeah.
As well as you've got a laundry list of people who you can say have done
it
that vouch for, no, this is a cool thing and a sort of like thing that is good, is fun.
Yeah.
Right? A really fun experience. What about the stuff that isn't like that? Like, what about the stuff that you're trying to get off the ground? Like, when you're starting the George Lucas talk show, that's a concept and it's like, we all know and love Connor.
Sure.
But when that show's starting, he's not as visible as he is now.
Totally, because it was like 3 years ago.
And even the Gethard show in the public access days. Were you doing like talent booking?
No, I started doing the talent booking specifically last season.
Okay.
But I was dealing with talent the first season too.
But what about the stuff that is more grassrootsy? Where it doesn't have that laundry list of credentials or distribution point.
Yeah, like I mean, at that point, you have to rely on friends a lot. And even with Connor and I started a new show called Way Past Your Bedtime a few months ago that he and I have been working on.
Yeah,
and even with that, it's like you got to call in the favors for the people who A, know you, B, have done other shows with you. And at this point, him specifically, he's done enough shows with people where he's doing ASCAT all the time. So, like, people know him from those shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's kind of it. It's just like, I guarantee you'll have fun on this show. That's what you say. And then, which is true. Like, we've never had anybody who did not have fun on the show. And I think that they just have to trust you.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like,
yeah.
They just have to trust you.
How did you, like, what was the sort of jump? Like, I see, like, in your background that you were doing a lot of, like, PA work and some production coordinator work and some stuff that's a little bit more, like, that also is a little less comedy.
Yeah.
You worked on Christmas in Rockefeller Center.
I did.
Notably for comedy.
Yeah. The number one source of comedy.
I guess I just mean to say, it's like, what was the path for you that led you there?
Yeah,
because you're
sure.
Obviously a comedy guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what has been your path to, like, get to these jobs?
Yeah. Well, I went to school in the city. I went to Pace.
All right.
2010, 2014. During that time, I started working on Gethard. I was going to UCB a lot. Saw Gethard there and was like, oh, I should go see his new show that's starting on Public Access. Let me go check this out.
Yeah.
Started going to that. And then a few weeks in, I was like, you know, I should start working on this show, which is kind of a weird thing. Like, that's not usually how that works, where you're like, oh, I'm going to the show. I'm just going to work on it.
Yeah.
And that it happened.
It was a real opportunity for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So then worked on that for a while, which led to, it was like 3 years. And I was doing other production stuff, but I was still in school. And then after graduation, I just got an email out of the blue from Shannon being like, I think you might like talent booking, which was kind of like the next comedy phase after that, because there's only so many comedy jobs in the world. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you gotta do the tree lighting, which it was fun, but it's not comedy, which is kind of my main focus.
Sure.
So Shannon emailed me, was like, I think you might like doing booking on ASCAT. And I was like, sure, I've never done that. I don't know how to do that. I'll figure it out, I guess. And at that point, Catherine Mudon and Michael Caine had been doing it before me. So I just kind of talked with them about what it would entail.
Yeah.
I just kind of went in blindly and was like, I'll just figure it out on the fly. And that has sort of led to any other talent booking thing that I've done. It's just like bounced off of that. Had been doing that for a little bit, and that's when they were looking for a booker at Gethard, because Gethard actually booked the first season himself with his friends and stuff. And then they're like, well, we should bring in someone for real this time. And I'd been doing production coordinating for the first season. And then they just thought I would be good at it, since I'd been doing ASCAT. And I guess George Lucas at that point, too.
Yeah, so it sounds pretty organic.
Yeah, it kind of just one thing bopped to another, bopped to another, bopped to another, and, you know.
And is the sort of like, but what you were trying to, it's aligned though. You were working in production.
Yeah.
Trying to get into projects, trying to get in places as a PA and start on that sort of like.
Yeah, the normal route.
Film crew side.
Yeah.
And sort of got pulled into this thing that was like somebody flagging like you have skills, like you have some of those characteristics.
Or
that
we think you have a skill.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think you can do it.
But you're kind of saying that, like, some of it is just having the attitude and having this sort of like ability to present the opportunity and present yourself as being like a conduit to some fun.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
And that's also something you can recognize in people, whether or not they like see the world that way,
for sure,
or whether they just see. You know,
yeah.
See it as like, I hate, because some people are like, I fucking hate asking people for things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Which you sort of just have to get over.
Yeah.
Because I was like that for a while too. And then you realize that, especially this job specifically, like, that's all you're doing is asking people to do stuff.
Yeah. But also, like, you're also reframing it though.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important distinction, is do you see it as I'm asking something of this person, or am I offering this person something fun that is mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a truth to that perspective, I think, in what you're saying, which is like, hey, when you're talking about like the George Lucas talk show, you're not saying like, hey, do this because it's going to get you fame and money and be great for your career.
Yeah, exactly.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
This is going to be cool.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, you know, something that like some other people are going to pick up towards you as like cred a little bit, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're cool. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're cool.
Yeah.
I'm offering you the ability to come here and be cool through association with this thing.
I'm trying to make you cooler. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's some truth to that.
Yeah.
That like, hopefully if you see the world that way, you can offer it, but not everybody sees it that way.
Yeah.
Some people see it as like, I'm asking them, I'm dragging them down, I'm asking of their time, and I can't even pay them for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think at some point you just realize that the stuff, I mean, at least in my case, the stuff you're working on is fun and is cool. And even if they don't realize they're going to have a super fun time on it, like, they will by the end of it. So if you can just talk them into doing it enough by being like, you're just going to have to trust me, you're just going to have to do this. Like, listen, you're going to have a good time. And some people don't want to do it. Some people, it's not in their wheelhouse. But I think that once you're good enough at, you have to be a persuasive person to do it too. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
No. You have to be persuasive. You have to sort of like be able to read how someone is responding and know whether or not their pushback is like
is for
hesitancy
real.
Or whether it is just like maybe even just being like polite but being not interested.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to give up on that after a little bit. Like, if people keep saying no, you're like, oh, okay, this is for real. This isn't just a, I'm not good at this. I don't want to do this. Like, you realize, oh, maybe they don't actually want to do the show.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen that often. Honestly, like, it's more likely that I will not hear back from reps or from people than people politely declining.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And also, like, people are busy.
Yeah,
and
people are busy.
And it is, and some of their job too is, yes, to, like, I guess it also makes sense that it's a manager because the manager is looking out for the whole,
yeah,
the whole person, right? Yeah. The whole career.
Yeah.
And some of that are the tangential things to financial opportunity, mm-hmm, or to real career stepping stones, mm-hmm, that are good for them and also, like, fun for them.
And I think, yeah, they, when you're a manager, I think you have to know what your client likes,
yeah,
and what they're into. Yeah. And, like, there's people like Kevin Bacon did monologues, which is not someone you would expect to do it. But, like, his manager was like, oh, I know that he likes UCB. I know that he's been to UCB in LA a bunch. Yeah. I think he would like this. And then he did it and he was great.
Yeah. I mean, he does seem like somebody who'd be good at that, right?
Yeah.
And also would have fun with it. He's got to have a sense
and
of humor.
He was. He was great.
Yeah.
He had such a good time. It was so funny. That night, Pat Kiernan did it. He did the earlier,
sure,
show from NY1. He's,
sure,
a local news
The guy
news
who
anchor.
Reads the newspaper.
Exactly. He's the
On
best.
On TV.
But he did the early show, and then Bacon was doing 9:30. And when Pat came back after the show, and Kevin was in the green room with me, Kevin went up to him and was like, oh, my gosh, I'm such a big fan of yours. And Pat Kiernan's eyes, aww, just got so big. So, like, that's another fun thing when you get to do shows like that. All these people interacting. Even a few weeks ago, Max Brooks, who wrote World War Z, he wrote for SNL. He's Mel Brooks' son. He was doing the early show, and Mark Hamill was doing the later show.
Yeah.
And Mark had been on the World War Z audiobook, but they'd never met. So they, like, had this mutual, like, geeking out moment, being like, oh, my gosh, I love you. I love working on your book. Oh, my gosh. Well, you're Mark Hamill, obviously. I love,
yeah,
you. Like, it's a cool thing to introduce people to,
yeah,
which is a weird.
That's funny.
It's a weird thing. When I booked them both, I was like, oh, I assume they've met. I assume they're friends.
Yeah.
And just being able to introduce them is a fun part to that.
That's cool. I mean, in that circumstance, with the UCB stuff, too, it also seems like, like, it's one thing if it's your job, like, it's your job,
sure,
right? Like, it's one thing at Gethard where you're, like, trying to find folks that probably are, like, vetted in terms of, like, the identity of the show,
yeah,
and the concepts that the writers are pitching in,
yeah,
and also, like, who the network wants and all of those things that are, like, the job part of it.
Mm-hmm.
With ASCAD, there also must be some aspect of it where you've got some latitude to get the people, you know, who are good. But,
yeah,
also, like, for you, too, there's got to be some people who you're sneaking in that are like, these are the people I want.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's, yeah, kind of the whole thing. I don't really have any overhead there. I hope Shannon's not listening to this, yeah, and we'll change that. But zero overhead.
But I mean, but that's fun that you can sort of, like,
oh,
go
absolutely
at people and be like, hey, I've got a thing that's got the credentials,
yeah,
and got the cool.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and I love
but
this
I want
person.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to come here. And that's happened more times than,
yeah,
I would care to admit.
It seemed like that Mark Hamill thing made a,
yeah,
big, like, I saw so many people,
yeah,
just like, flocking to
it
that
was a crazy,
like, posting about
it was a real crazy night.
was somebody like that following that same path, or did you have a special way?
No,
to,
that was pretty much the same path. I mean, he and Tamanik are friends, so sometimes you got to drop names for people who are going to be in the show too,
yeah,
and I was able to be like, oh, well, Anthony's going to be there, I know you guys are friends, and just I went through and his reps pushed me on to his wife, and then his wife and I just set it all up. And
that's great.
Yeah, it was one of those that I really honestly didn't think it was going to happen until the moment he walked on stage.
Yeah.
It was one,
yeah,
of those that I didn't trust it. But then he was there and he was great.
And he was there.
Yeah.
And,
it's going to be tough to top it.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Well, you got to keep going.
I know.
Or you have to do the thing where you walk out right,
yeah,
after that.
Yeah,
you
have, well,
to find the
late
one that's
too
like,
late for that.
You're like, peace.
Bye-bye.
All done.
Yeah.
I mean, that also sounds like another sort of piece of it, though, where, again, you're using the human connection,
mm-hmm,
of it to reference, like, you can reference what the opportunity is, you can reference who did it that maybe they know or can, you know, sort of like have some sort,
yeah,
of like relationship or comparison to. And then there's also like someone else in this experience knows you. You mentioned that with Connor,
mm-hmm,
like with the Tamanik.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the people who you know who are also participants,
yes,
can be part of what's vouching for,
yeah,
the opportunity,
totally,
too.
And it helps sometimes to be like, hey, can you talk to so-and-so? Like, I reached out, and I don't know if they saw it, but if you reach out, too, I think it will help,
yeah,
be going at them from a few angles.
Yeah, using all the sort of tools in the toolbox.
Yeah, and that you just sort of got to know everything like that, where it's like, oh, I think you guys wrote on something together. You were in an episode of this show with this person. Like, you met a few times, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. So at this point, it seems like you've found a way mm-hmm. to make this skill set a living. Right?
Yeah.
This is your job. You're in high demand. You're on one TV show, and they're like nine episodes in. You're like, I'm leaving for another TV show to go do this job.
But I still
over
love
there.
You guys. I still love you, and it was
yeah.
a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah.
And if you ever want me back, please.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just mean to say, it's like this is sort of like rolling forward
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Where for you? Does this track that you're on sort of like what do you sort of like project out for yourself?
I mean, that's a great question.
Because it's definitely like not a track that I know a lot of people who've done.
Yeah, and
you know
there's
I mean?
Not there's not really a set way to do it.
Yeah,
and there's not a lot of jobs for it. So that's the other tough thing that you run into where it's like, oh, there's only how many talk shows in New York?
Sure.
Probably less than 10 talk shows in New York. Maybe I don't know.
I mean, comedy talk shows, definitely.
Yeah.
If you want to go down the road.
If you
want
to go to Kelly and Ryan or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just, I don't know where it ends up. I think it will probably end up on a talk show like a Colbert or like a Seth Meyers or even like an SNL. I think those would probably, once Gethard ends or once, anywhere cool that I end up,
yeah.
I think those are like the establishment places that like, oh, they're going on forever. So, like, you can just have a job there for 15 years or
yeah.
whatever. Like, I think that's probably the end game. But honestly, mm-hmm. I've sort of, at this point, just kind of rolled with it and
yeah.
seen what happens. And that's, I think, what I'm going to keep doing.
That's
at this
fun.
Point. I don't know. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. yeah. And that's that for you would be sort of like something like, and even if it's like, I mean, right now we're living in a period where, like, there is this, like, question mark about the future of the Gethard Show.
Mm-hmm.
But like in a world where that becomes like something weekly on an ongoing basis, the way that I guess the way the President's Show's become now, right? He's got a bigger series order.
Yeah, I think tonight's the last one.
Is the last one?
They have a Christmas special, I think, and then they're waiting to hear about that.
I guess the question with Mark with that one is how long? Like,
yeah,
how long does this whole thing stay topical?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That was always the question.
Yeah.
But I guess I just mean like there's also a world where this show becomes that more regular
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Like, and what an amazing thing that would be to go yeah. from public access to like some sort of like ongoing
the talk show of
for
whatever network.
For another
yeah.
5-10 years. That's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
But like you're saying that like that type of opportunity is sort of like you're feeling like this is a skill where hopefully there are continued opportunities and that's where you're driving towards.
Yeah, I would
to
like
be happy.
I think at this point I would like to keep doing that.
Yeah.
But if something else comes up, I have no idea what that would be. I don't have any other skills, so it's kind of a. I think I just got to keep following the path I'm on at this point. And there's so many booking things in my life right now that it's such a big part of my life that I don't know what it would take to make a giant right turn or left turn. Yeah, so it's kind of just we'll figure it out as we go.
I mean, it also sounds though, like you're doing like even when you're talking about like the show that you and Connor are just sort of like
mm-hmm.
it's still in its early days of
yeah.
like launching, right? There is like this thing where it's like you have this experience and have an ability to sort of understand like how to get people to come into a project
sure.
too.
Sure.
Where like there's also the ability to like wholesale like put things together more.
Yeah.
You're interested in that side of things? Are you? Like, I guess, like what's, like so many people around here are really, like, doing the kind of stuff that's behind the scenes to push more towards, like, writing and performing opportunities.
Yeah.
Is that you or not?
No, I performed in high school. I was in the drama club in high school, and I sort of just got it all out of my system at that point.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I don't really need to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, and I think that's helped me here because people know I'm not, like, gunning for stage time.
You're not just doing this one thing just so you can do the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think
that's
that
good.
Helps because I don't think there's that many people around here like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a producing or like a segment producing on a talk show, something like that, would be the next move. But that's it's one or the other, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also it's sort of like dependent on how much this stuff like keeps going that you're already connected to,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, totally.
Because again, if there is a big extension and a sort of like relatively long term future for mm-hmm. Gethard, that also like puts you in a different place in terms of feeling like you can, you know, have a little security.
Yeah.
And also like do a job that clearly you're passionate about.
But the Gethard show is not known for security.
That's true. Although it does seem to keep coming back.
It does.
You can't kill the thing.
I know, and I keep going to other jobs and then having to leave to go back to
that's
it.
That's what I mean. It's like, you're right. It's not like high security, but it's also like shit. When you think about how long it's been.
I know. Holy. 6 years.
Yeah, that's insane,
man. Yeah, I just
hit
6 years,
insane.
Which is nuts.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's
been
fun.
I hope that I hope you guys do get a huge pickup.
Oh, thank you.
I hope it goes to nightly. You know what I mean? Just for your sanity. I hope it goes
to nightly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll keep me happy and okay. You'll never see me. No one will ever see me.
Yeah. Well, that's great, man. Well, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Do it for episode number 68 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thanks to Patrick for sitting down, taking the time to chat with us. And thank you out there for listening. As always, also, thanks to the Bronx Brewery, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Go to thebronxbrewery.com for more information on all of their excellent craft beers, including the No Resolutions IPA, our beer of the week. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode of this show, talking to makers about their craft. You can subscribe to this show and all of our excellent UCB Comedy podcasts at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. We're also on Stitcher and I don't know, where are the rest? Burberry, all the other places. If there's a place this podcast, we're on it. And if we're not there, we got to get on that place too. We'll be back next week. And until then, we'll see you on the internet.
What up, jabroniacs? This is Dan Black from the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where the world of comedy collides head-to-head with the world of professional wrestling. Past guests on the show have been WWE superstar Dolph Ziggler, WWE superstar John Morrison, WWE superstar Damian Sandow, plus hilarious comedians Lucas Brothers, Dante Germain. The list goes on and on and on. You can listen to the podcast every single Thursday. We are part of the UCB Podcast Network, jabronis.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.